Today is Septuagesima Sunday. It is also the feast of St. Andrew, who is commemorated with the second collect in today's Mass. I'd like to remind you of the ordinations to the priesthood of Reverend Mr. James Carroll and Reverend Mr. Benjamin Selway on April the 11th at 8 in the morning. There's a dinner at 1 o'clock at the Miller Ridge Inn. If you're interested, please make reservations by March 11th. Please remember in your prayers vocations, especially to the Society of St. Pius V. It's a parent-teacher night this Friday. We'd like to thank all of you who came to the abortion clinic yesterday to pray the rosary in the very cold weather. For the last 3 months, every month the number has grown, and it's, I think, a delight to our Lord. Last month, I know many of you went to Washington, D.C. for a rosary procession. God will certainly reward you for your efforts. In Cincinnati, we had our own rosary procession, sponsored by our church here. And we had our largest number ever of 440-something people join us for the rosary. It's 1,300 rosaries in a matter of an hour being prayed for the crime of abortion. And at the rosary procession, we had our United States representative there. And he borrowed some words from Senator Henry Hyde. I'd like to share just two thoughts with you today about this, about these words. Senator Henry Hyde, once in his encouragement of the people to fight against abortion, referred to the Last Judgment, actually the particular judgment too. He said that when you go before the judgment seat of Almighty God, those of you who have been fighting for the right of these unborn children to live, there will be 45 million babies there pleading your case, asking Almighty God for mercy upon your soul. It's a very consoling thought. He also said, in relation to the battle against the abortionists, that God will not ask you if you succeeded in overturning Roe versus Wade decision of the Supreme Court. He will ask if you tried. And once again, it's a very true point. I ask you to please remember in your prayers Jerry Esposito. He's the son of Mrs. Alice Esposito, who has been over in Iraq as a medic. He was injured Wednesday night, and my second Mass today will be for his intention and his recovery. I ask you to please remember him, especially as you receive Holy Communion today. And immediately after Mass this morning, there will be the blessing of throats for those who have not received that blessing yet. My dear friends, I would like to depart from the Gospel and from the Epistle of today's Mass and speak to you about love of your neighbor. We read in Matthew 19:19, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Our love for our neighbor, spoken of in St. Matthew's Gospel, is a supernatural love. And it's a sincere love, and it has practical consequences to it. Otherwise, it would only be a human love. It would be an interested love, meaning you love someone as much as they love you. And it would not be a Christian love. And charity never belies itself. It shows itself towards all men, at all times, and everywhere. In the first place, it requires that we bear patiently with our neighbor. With patience, supporting one another in charity, we read in the Ephesians. Charity is not irritable. It's not irritated. St. Cyprian says, "Take away patience from charity, and you destroy charity." So it's not just putting up with our neighbor. It's patiently putting up with our neighbor. We should never lose sight that we ourselves have our own defects. We have our own shortcomings. These defects and these shortcomings may be far greater than our neighbors, may be more numerous, may be more unbearable than those that we complain about, that we see in our neighbors. We have to remember that others forbear us, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, we read in the Colossians. Forbearance is a very important virtue. Parents have to forbear their children when their children misstep. Children forbear their parents when their parents correct them. Parents may make mistakes, but it's not for the children to point that out or to count. There has to be mutual forbearance between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, between Christians and Christians. As I was sitting in the airport last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, a young lady came up to me. I was sitting there with a young man having a bite of lunch. The young man drove me to the airport. A young lady and her boyfriend came up to me and asked me if I was a Catholic priest. And I said, yes, I was. And she said, well, I'm Catholic. I'm a Maronite. She said that her uncle was a bishop over in Lebanon. And then I said, well, I'm very sorry about all the war that's going on over in your country. And I thought it was just Christian against Muslim. She said, no, it's not. It's Maronite against Maronite. It's Christians against Christians fighting this war also. Above all things, Scripture says, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. We have the obligation, my dear friends, to try to excuse, if not the act, the intention of others. You find it difficult. Well, they find it difficult also to put up with you and with me at times. We must remember the great rewards for charity. Our Lord says, charity covereth a multitude of sins. Charity also requires that you and I edify our neighbor by good conduct. Science puffs up, but charity edifies. The good example which you give, especially those 34, 35 people yesterday at the rosary, at the abortion clinic, out there in the cold praying your rosaries, people saw you, hundreds of people saw you. The good example of a virtuous person, often as example proves, is more persuasive, more profitable than the greatest sermons. A good, practical Catholic, by his edifying conduct, he continuously reminds his neighbor of the necessity of serving God faithfully. There is no scandal in him who loveth his brothers. But what about he who does not love his brothers? What about he who leads a disedifying lifestyle of drunkenness, of impurity, of dishonesty? He who disedifies his neighbors, who leads him away from God by his conduct, by his evil life, he doesn't love his neighbor. Even a boyfriend and a girlfriend who would lead each other away from God, they don't love each other, but actually hates each other. For he scandalizes him and leads or tries to lead him into sin. St. John says that he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Bad example is worse than stealing. Bad example is worse than slander. Bad example, if it's serious, is worse than murder of the body. For bad example, scandal is the murder of one's soul. One's neighbor's soul. It's spiritual murder. And we read in Ezekiel, woe to the giver of scandal. I will require of him his blood. Charity, my dear friends, requires at times that we can correct our neighbor with meekness. St. Timothy tells us, correct your neighbor gently and prudently, for perhaps God will grant them penance to know the truth and to recover themselves from the snares of the devil. Notice Timothy says, gently and prudently. If charity requires us to assist our neighbors in temporal and bodily matters and dangers, how much more does charity require us to assist our neighbor when there is spiritual danger to their soul? We have a strict duty, my dear friends, whenever prudence suggests it, whenever there is hope that our correction will be good, to kindly correct someone when we have that hope that there will be a good effect. This duty is seldom performed because of shame, because we don't want someone to think we're Holy Joes. It's seldom performed, and even more seldom is it properly performed because of lack of prudence, because of lack of gentleness, because of lack of pure motive of Christian charity. Let us bear in mind, my dear friends, our duty of correction. These are the words of St. Bernard. A beast of burden falls down, and everyone hastens to raise it up. But if a soul falls, there's no one to lend a helping hand to raise it up. How true this is today. And that is why the visible church has fallen into the state that she is in, because no one has been there to lend a helping hand. We should, my dear friends, correct in the spirit of charity. St. John Chrysostom was very firm, but he says not to scold harshly, not to crush the one which has committed such and such a fault, but to admonish him in kindness, not to persecute him with anger or abuse, but to assist him with good counsel, not to address him with pharisaical pride and arrogance, but to address him with love and with meekness. We have to remember that, especially when we are responsible for the souls of others. It was St. Francis de Sales who coined the term, "A teaspoon of honey will catch more flies than a hogshead of vinegar." And finally, my dear friends, with regards to love of neighbor, remember that charity covereth a multitude of sins, almsgiving, helping the poor, helping the needy. We are one body in Christ. St. Paul says, "God hath tempered the body together, that the members might be mutually careful one for another." We have to assist those who are in need. We have to make sacrifices for those less fortunate. And by doing this, we do as Jesus did. We assist our Lord Himself. We have the beautiful example of St. Martin of Tours, who saw the cold man there, took his own sword and cut his cloak in half and gave half to the poor man. And that night, as this Roman soldier knelt down to pray, God spoke to him and said, "Martin, it was I to whom you gave the cloak." We have to be careful with regards to excessive spending on ourselves, our amusements, our pets. It has been said of people, they have no heart, no sympathy for destitute families, for the poor, for the sick, for the orphans, for the young in danger of leading a life of infamy on account of their poverty. They have pity for animals, but not for their fellow men. My dear friends, it was the angel Raphael who said to Tobias, "Prayer is good with fasting and alms, more than to lay up treasures of gold. For alms delivereth from eternal death and purges away sin, which causes one to find mercy and life everlasting." May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.